Father, this word that you have given us, it's the word who was made flesh and made his dwelling among us. This is not just ink on paper, but it represents so much more than that. And so, Father, I pray that as we open your holy word today, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would convict us of those things that we are holding on to tightly. That we might let those things go and embrace the things that you have for us. So, Lord, I pray that you would clearly speak through me today, this broken vessel, searching what it looks like to become a disciple. Please help me as I try to teach and instruct your people today from your word. I ask your blessing on this time, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you were here last Sunday, you might remember that we started a new, just a four-part series for the month of December, and it's entitled Gospel Gifts. For God so loved the world that he gave. And what was the first gift one of the first gifts that he gave to us?
Salvation.
So we talked about that last week, and it was pretty cool. I wish I could do that every week, give away little gifts like that, but my budget doesn't handle that. So that gift that we talked about last week of salvation, of God's rescue for us, that is a gift that he offers to everyone. And I know many of you have received that gift. Many of you have been saved. This morning, the gift that I'd like to talk to you about actually is not for unbelievers, but it's a gift that is only for believers, for those who have been saved, and it is the gift of sanctification. Now, this is another huge churchy word, not a word that you've probably used around your dinner table recently, probably not a word that you've even played in Scrabble recently as well, because it's a lot of letters. But what does this word sanctification, what does it mean? What does sanctification mean? Anybody have a guess or a suggestion? Set apart. Yes. Thank you, Marilyn. Set apart is true. Any other ideas on what sanctification means? Isaiah? The process of becoming holy. Did you just look that up? No? Okay. Well, good. Good one. The process of becoming holy. Yes, that's what sanctification is. To be set apart, becoming holy. Any other words you want to contribute? So in the Old Testament, the way that whenever this word sanctify or sanctification, when this word was used, many times it was regarding things. So the priest, he would make something holy for use for God. So, for example, the utensils that they would use in the temple, in the sanctuary, they would purify those, they would cleanse them so that they could be set apart and used only for the holy purpose of the holy ceremony. They might sanctify a particular day and set it apart and make it holy. It would be like a holiday, so to speak, but it would be set apart for God. They would the priests would be sanctified, a cleansing that would take place. So in the Old Testament, the idea was setting apart or cleansing things. What have I got on there? To make holy, to set something apart. The idea that it was only to be used for God's purposes. In the New Testament, you have a little bit different flavor to this word. In the New Testament, this word is never applied to things. It's always applied to people, and specifically to God's people, to those who have been saved. People who have been separated from sin and now dedicated or set apart to God for God's purposes. People who have been separated from the world and dedicated to the Lord. That's how that word in the New Testament gets used. Big churchy word. It's an important word for us, though, and it's a gift that God has given to you if you belong to Christ. This process of becoming holy, being set apart for his purposes, for his will. I do need a volunteer today, though, again. Someone who is young. Is there a Ralphie here? No? No Ralphie's here. Well, is there a Nathan here today? Is there a Nathan? Oh, there right there's a Nathan. Well, Nathan, come on up here. Maybe you can help me today. Actually, why don't you sit on this one? I'll sit over here. Oh, you even brought your Bible. Good job. Well, hey, this is a, I'm going to set my Bible back here for a moment. Yeah, that was good. So this is a big month, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's going to happen this month?
Christmas,
yeah. And generally, what happens at your house on Christmas morning? What do you do?
You unwrap gifts.
Yes. Yeah, and that's pretty fun, isn't it?
That's the main thing. The gifts.
Yes, right. I know. A lot of people don't think about that, but that is part of the reason we give gifts is because God has been good to us, right?
Yeah.
Now, you see, we've got these Christmas trees up here today. Wouldn't it be really cool if there was a Christmas present under one of those?
Yeah.
Is there one? Will you go grab that? Yeah, just be careful of the sound equipment over there. See, I think there's just one under there today. See if you can get it. Careful, it's heavy. Do you need help? Want me to call your brother and have him help you? Oh, he's in children's church. Oh, good. All right, well, we're going to just set this right here. Well, let's see here. Do you want to help me open this?
Sure.
All right. Let's see here. What do we got here? Here, maybe rip it open right there. Oh, good. Oh, it's from Amazon. Good, good. Oh, good. All right. What do we got here? Oh. Do you know what these are? They're draft dodgers. All right. You put them by your door to keep the cold air out. You want these are pretty cool, aren't they? No. What else we got in here? Oh. What do we got here? Oh. What do we got here? Oh well. Yeah, that's kind of cool, huh? Well, yeah, what we got in there? Here, I'm just going to set this down here. What is it?
White box.
A white box. What is in the white box?
Yeah.
Hopefully something good.
Dove.
Wait, what is it?
Soap.
Soap? Yeah, I better double check to make sure that that's what it is.
Yeah, it is.
It is soap? Yeah. Well, let's take it out of there. Let's see what it is. You ever used that stuff before?
Nope.
No?
We use foam soap.
Oh, you use foam soap,
yeah.
Right, the foamy soap. Yeah, yeah. So you've got some soap here. What does it say here? It's Dove.
White.
White. Wait, what's it say? It says Beauty Bar with Deep Moisture. That sounds pretty great gift, huh?
Yeah.
So we've got, what's this?
A cup,
right, yeah, a cup and some soap. I'm not so sure that was such a great gift, was it? Under the tree like that, you know. So what do we do with the soap like that?
Use it to wash your hands
and your body, right? Because you ever wash your hands?
Yes.
Yeah, good, because, right, your hands get dirty and all that. Yeah, and this here, actually, it's not exactly representative, but you could call it a cup or you could call it a laver. You ever hear that word before? A laver? Yeah, a laver is something that you use to wash. So if we put some water in this and then we use this soap, we could do what?
Wash your hands.
Yeah, we could get washed up. That would be good. Now, I don't know if you've ever noticed when you've been sitting out there, but up here on the wall, we've got a logo over here on the wall. Yeah, you know, there's four pieces on that logo. Does this look like any of the ones up there? Which one does it look like? What are the four?
The cup.
Yeah, the one that's the cup. That's right. That's what it looks like, and that's what this is supposed to represent. It's supposed to represent
the
laver.
The pitcher, the cup, the cross, the crown.
Yes, the pitcher, the cross, the cup, and the crown. That's right. That's pretty good. You're pretty observant. Yeah. So. Well, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about this cup and what you would use it. Yeah, there is a hole in it because it's just decorative. Yeah, but if we put if we stopped up the hole and then we put water in it, we could use this soap to cleanse our dirty hands when that. And how often do you wash your hands? How often does that happen?
Every time you come outside.
Like, so is that like once a week or once a?
No,
like how often? Like every month?
No. Every 10 times a day.
10 times a day.
Right?
10 times a day. That's good. I'm glad. You need to talk to my kids about that. They need to do that a little bit more often. That would be great. So, well, I'll tell you what. This probably isn't all that great of a gift for you. So I'll tell you what, I do have one more package for you. It's another dove, but it's not over there. It's in here. Why don't you see if you open this up, see what's in there. Here, I'll hold the soap. Yeah, just lift that up. Oh, pull that out of there. Let's see what we got there.
Battery?
Oh, no, just leave the rest of it there.
Right.
There's other surprises in there for another time.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, what do we got here? Oh, what's that?
Dove chocolate.
Oh. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. You like chocolate?
Yes.
So I think there's peanut butter chocolate, and there's mint chocolate.
There's Silk Smooth Thomas milk chocolate, dark chocolate and mint swirl, and milk chocolate and peanut butter. You're right with both of those flavors.
Wow. Well, I'll make you a deal. If you'd like, I'll give you this, and you give me those. No?
For what?
One of them? Well, I'll tell you what. I'd like you... I'll keep the soap, you keep the chocolate, but you got to promise me two things. Number one, well, maybe three things. Number one, you have to share one with your brother.
Yes. Okay.
Number two, you have to share one with your mom and dad.
Yeah.
And number three, you can't open any of them until you get home today. Okay. Is that a deal?
Okay.
I'd like you to have that gift. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Thanks for helping me today.
No, thank you.
Oh, yep, take your Bible. Yes, that would be good. That would be good. I don't know that that's going to be available next week. I got a hunch it's going to be consumed before then. So I don't know if you've noticed or not in our logo, in the Alliance logo, we do have the four symbols. The cross, of course, represents salvation, and this cup, this laver, it represents sanctification, this setting apart, the cleansing that God does in our lives on an ongoing daily basis of separating us from sin, separating us to God. That's what that represents. And it's a gift that God gives you. He does it in and through you. There's this verse I want to make this point as well. Salvation is a one-time act. You don't get saved many times. You get saved one time. But sanctification is an ongoing process. How long does it last? From the moment that you get saved until you take your last breath. It's the process of becoming like Jesus. Conform to His image, the Scripture says. That's what sanctification is. Because God loves you so much, He gives you the gift of not letting you be like you are for the rest of your life. He's changing you into the likeness of Jesus. And it takes a long time. It takes a long time. It's a daily kind of process that we work through. There's a scripture in 1 Thessalonians. I'd like you to turn there if you have a Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it's kind of a really small book, but hopefully you'll be able to find it. It's right before 2 Thessalonians. It's actually right after Colossians. And this is Paul writing to the believers there in the church in Thessalonica. And he says this you find it in chapter 4, verse 3. He says, "It is God's will that you should be sanctified." That's God's will for your life. Have you ever asked, what's God's will for my life? Well, God's will for your life is that you be sanctified, that you be set apart from the world and dedicated to God. Now, in the next few verses, I'm not going to necessarily go into them, but it tells us how, what this is to look like. It's you're to avoid sexual immorality. You're to learn to control your own body. In verse 6, it says, "The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we have told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life." And Paul goes on to say, if you reject this instruction, you're not rejecting the instruction of man, you're rejecting the instruction of God. It is God's will that you be sanctified. And so this process of becoming like Christ, it is partially your responsibility. As believers, you make choices every day that either honor or dishonor God. Choices of obedience or disobedience. This sanctification, this gift that he's given you, part of it is for you to work out. A little bit later in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, Paul goes on to say, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. And that verse makes it sound like whose responsibility is it to do the sanctifying? God's responsibility. So you are responsible for this sanctification process, and God is responsible for this sanctification process. It's a joint effort, so to speak. The reality is you can't do anything without the empowering of the Holy Spirit. So God gets all the glory in the end. But the way the scriptures describe it is such that we have a part to play in it. It reminds me of the old poem. You've heard this footprints in the sand kind of poem, right? Where the man has a dream and he sees Jesus carrying him at times. He sees the two sets of footprints in the sand throughout his life. He's talking to the Lord about this, and he says, Lord, I see the two footprints. Thank you for walking with me, but Lord, I have a question. There were hard times in my life, dark times in my life, where there was only one set of footprints. And you're probably familiar with this. And Jesus says, yes, my son, that's when I carried you. I see that as part of the sanctification process of where this becoming holy, sometimes it's more than we can handle ourselves, the trials and tribulations that we go through, and it's as if the Lord is carrying us through those times. There's a new ending, though, to this footprints in the sand. I really like it. It goes like this. Jesus says, my child, I never left you. Those places with one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. I know some of you have seen what's coming next. That long groove over there is where I dragged you for a while. It's as if the Lord had to drag him, kicking and screaming, through this process of getting him to the end. Has anybody ever said, Lord, I'm not doing that, and he drags you anyway? I mean, he's along for the process. It's sort of like when I make my kids wash their hands. Sometimes I have to physically take them in there and put their hands under the, especially Journey, right? So put their hands under the water, put the soap on, do it for them. Sure, there's been times when Jesus has had to drag you through this sanctification process. This process of becoming holy, of growing in the Lord, maturing. It's a gift that he has given you. An opportunity to not leave you as you are, but to make you more like Christ. So the verse that I really want you to see, though, this morning is in John chapter 17. And if you wouldn't mind, I'd encourage you to flip over to there. John chapter 17. It's just really interesting verse there. This is a prayer of Jesus. He's praying it on the night of his arrest, when he'll on his way to the cross. He's praying this for the disciples, for the 11 that are there in the upper room with him. And then, as we'll read a little bit further, he says that this prayer is not only for them, but those who will later believe my message, which means this prayer is for you and for me. Jesus says this, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Now, what does this mean? Jesus is saying, Father, sanctify them, cleanse them, set them apart, make them holy. How is it going to happen? By the truth. And then he clarifies what the truth is. He says his word, or the word, God's word is truth. If you're holding a Bible, you're holding the tool of sanctification in your hands. God's word is the truth by which Jesus prayed that you would be cleansed, made holy, sanctified. And this sanctification process is not a, it's not a once a month or once a week kind of process. It's a daily, it's a 10 times a day kind of thing, where the Holy Spirit speaks to you through His Word if you will open it and apply it to your life. This sanctification process, it is going to happen whether you like it or not. And sometimes it's going to feel like you're being drugged through the sand, right? But my prayer for us and for myself is that we'll willingly walk with Christ by opening His Word on a regular basis, drinking from the Word of God, the intimacy with Christ that comes from knowing Him and His Word. In your bulletin today, there was a another sheet that I want you to see. Hopefully you got one. If you didn't, I'll forgive you later. But there's a, we've talked about this. It's called the Word Hand. The Word Hand. And it's a tool that helps us understand how we are to have a grip on this gift of the Scriptures that God has given us. The pinky represents hearing the Word of God. And so I would challenge you, those of you who have received the gift of salvation and are now in this process of sanctification, I would encourage you and challenge you that in the year to come, in the weeks to come, make more time in your life, in your schedule, in your priorities for hearing the Word of God. That comes in multiple ways. It's through teaching. It's through preaching. Maybe it's through audio books on, or Bible on CD or MP3 or whatever your method. We live in America. There's a million ways to hear God's Word. It's up to you to figure out where am I going to make this a priority in my life? This little handout here from the Navigators, it says that hearing things, we only retain 5% of what we hear. So you're only going to remember 5% of what I've shared with you today. Which is why there's more fingers on this word hand picture. The next one is reading. Reading the Word of God. I know some of us don't like to read. I understand that. I don't like to read some things either. But it needs to be a priority because it is the tool by which the Lord is going to sanctify you in the year to come. Reading the Word of God. There are a million reading plans. Personally, in the past, for me, I've gotten hung up when anyone has challenged me on this because I get stuck on the idea of, oh my goodness, I have to read from Genesis to Revelation. And that means I got to go through Leviticus and Numbers and some of those other ones that are real killers, right, to the whole checklist. Don't do that. Read the Word of God. Find a plan that fits for you. One of them that I would suggest is called the E100, Essential 100. And what it is it gives you the 100 most essential parts of the Bible, so to speak, so that you get a whole overview, a grasp of what these Scriptures contain. But I want to challenge you, encourage you, as your pastor, as your friend, as a brother in Christ, we need to be reading the Word of God more consistently in the year to come. The third finger is studying. That's going a step further. Not only hearing it and reading it, but then studying it. What does this mean? Maybe getting somebody else's perspective or opinion on what these passages, how to interpret this, to study it. There's lots of tools available for this as well. Lots of books available for this. Maybe you can find a friend to help you study it. Maybe you can come to adult Sunday school, 9 o'clock Sunday mornings. We study the Word of God in there. The other side of this wall. We need to make more of an intent, be more intentional about this because it is God's will that you be sanctified. How are you going to be sanctified? By the Word of truth, who is Jesus Christ, on display here in this book. The fourth finger in this illustration is memorizing. I know the older we get, the harder that gets as well. I'd encourage you, if you didn't do any months in 2018 with our little 3x5 note card, memorize one verse. If you didn't do any months, do 1 month this year. Just do one. Memorize one verse. Commit it to memory. put it on your dashboard, put it on your mirror, put it somewhere where you're going to see it. Get the Word of God into you, because it's not just words, it is the tool of sanctification that Jesus prayed for His disciples. If you're a disciple, you need to be engaged in this. Not once a month, not once a week, every day. And not from a Pharisaical, legalistic perspective, not from a check it off the list. This is life. This quenches our thirst. This is our spiritual food. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You want to hear God speak? Open the Bible. Every word is His. He's speaking to you. The fifth and final piece of this particular illustration is the word meditation. Meditating on God's word. I like to use the word soak or marinate in God's word. You use this when you hear and when you read and when you study and when you memorize. You think about what it is. And in popular culture, if you use the word meditate, a lot of times, especially from the Eastern religions, meditate means to clear your mind. Don't think about anything. That's not what the biblical sense of meditation means. Meditation means fill your mind with the Word of God and let it churn in there. Stay focused on it. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What's the best way to renew your mind? The Word of God. The Word of God, it is the sanctification tool, the thing that is going to cleanse you for a purpose. I hope that this word hand is helpful to you, because if you're just holding on to your Bible with one finger, it is going to fall off. We need five fingers on this thing. This is a lifestyle. It's not a to-do list. Jesus, in that passage there, he goes on to say, as you sent, and again, he's praying this, and he's praying it to the Father. And he says this really interesting thing. He says, he's talking to the Father, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Who's the them? The disciples. Jesus, as he has received a commission from his Father to go into the world and seek and save the lost, Jesus is now sending his disciples into the world to seek and save the lost. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Jesus says, for them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Now, in this sense, Jesus can't become more pure than he already is. He can't become more holy than he already is. I think what he's referring to is he's setting himself apart to be obedient to his Father. As he has been obedient to his Father, as he has set himself apart from sin and dedicated himself to the will of the Father, as he has done that, as our example, he is praying that the disciples would do the same thing. That we would be set apart. For what purpose? The Father sent Jesus to be his representative, right? To the Messiah. The Father sent, or Jesus sends us into the world to represent him as well. Sanctification ultimately has its purpose in presenting the gospel. We need to be a people who are prepared, who have been cleansed, who are holy by this word, so that we might be the ambassadors that God has called us to be, so that we can fulfill that great commission, so that we can go to the country of Germany, where the population is only 1% evangelical Christian. 99% of the people in Germany do not know Jesus, do not have a personal relationship with him. And so there was a need for that family to go. What prepared them? Time in this. It's not a program. It's a relationship with a person. He is the Word made flesh. He is the Word who came and made his dwelling among us. His name is Jesus. This is a gift for you. One last thought. Sanctification is becoming what we already are. It's becoming what we already are. This process of becoming holy. So a couple of weeks ago, not to pick on the Kimples again, but they make for great examples. A few weeks ago, their son, or their Robert wasn't theirs. The judge declared that he was now a Kimple, and the paperwork was signed, sealed, and delivered, and Robert became a Kimple. But how long will it take Robert to become fully Kimple? The rest of his life. I'm sure there are certain traditions or phrases or things that are unique to the Kimple family that Robert will have to learn and take on as his own. Does he know those as soon as the judge signs it off? No. Is he fully and legally a Kimple? Yes. How long is it going to take him to become fully Kimple? The rest of his life. What is it going to take for Robert to become fully Kimple? The instruction and love and relationship with his parents. It doesn't happen on its own. Robert needs to hear the words of his father and of his mother to understand what it means to become fully Kimple. What does it mean for you when you were saved? You belong to Jesus. But do you know everything there is to know about what it looks like to walk with Christ and what it means to be a part of this family? No. How long does it take to become fully Christ-like? A lifetime. And Jesus prayed that you would know it and that you would become that through his word. And so, family, I don't know what 2018 looked like as far as your encounter and engagement with this. But I'm praying that whatever it was, that 2019 will see an increase. This is vital. He's the vine, we're the branches. We're to be connected to him. Our intimacy with Christ is so important if we're going to accomplish the mission that he's called us to, this great commission of being ambassadors to the lostness that is all around us. All around us. This is the plan. His word to us. This gift of sanctification. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. That would be a good word to memorize for this month and for every month. To God be the glory. Great and awesome things he has done. Amen.